Hallelujah. Oh, my soul, praise God. All my life long, I'll praise God, singing songs to my God as long as I live. Don't put your life in the hands of experts who know nothing of life, of salvation life. Mere humans don't have what it takes. When they die, their projects die with them. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and know real blessing. God made sky and soil, sea and all the fish in it. He always does what he says. He defends the wronged. He feeds the hungry. God frees prisoners. He gives insight to the blind. He lifts up the fallen. God loves good people, protects strangers, takes the side of orphans and widows, but makes short work of the wicked. God is in charge, always. Zion's God is God for good. Hallelujah. Today is all about living in gratitude. Right here, right now, only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's Thanksgiving week in the USA. That's one of our most treasured holidays. But there was also another special day for us. Charles had a birthday over the weekend, and I believe it was a big one. Happy birthday, Charles, and I believe this was your 11th time turning 40?
Absolutely. I'm 40 years old, 11 times over, and so thank you for the birthday wishes. It's 50 is a big number, so I feel like Fred Sanford. Oh, it's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming home. It's the big one. So so it's great to be 50 and looking forward to what life has the rest for the next 50. So we will turn 50 Saturday. Today is Monday, so we will celebrate tonight. My oldest daughter's home from college for the week for fall break, and so all of our family will gather. It's 25-cent wing night again in Western North Carolina, so there's going to be carnage. The chicken wings are going to be flying tonight, and we're just going to have a great time.
That's great to hear. I know you'll be looking forward to that time with your family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And get a little some chicken wing in advance of the turkey leg, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big turkey guy, so I've got to kind of do double duty on the chicken wings today. But absolutely, we got to get ready for. Who was it? John Madden, I think, used to do the turkey leg awards. So we're getting ready for the turkey legs on Thanksgiving.
It was like a mutant turkey. It had like six to eight turkey legs.
Well, that's what we should have opened with, a big turkey leg today. maybe next year for Thanksgiving. So, but well, with all the talk of chicken wings and turkey legs and birthdays, what a great day to be grateful. What a great time to really express our gratitude. Certainly, we do that at Thanksgiving, and we're talking about gratitude today, and so. We would be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity up front on this episode just to say thank you and express our gratitude from Five Gifts Podcast to all of our listeners, viewers, subscribers, those of you that are taking this journey with us. We want to say thank you so much for choosing to stick with us and go with us on this journey. We are thrilled and honored that you would choose to do that, and we are deeply grateful for each and every one of you.
Yeah, it's great to be here today and to do our Thanksgiving episode. We're going to take a break from some of the content that you've been listening to for the last several weeks, primarily on mentoring and empowering leaders. And we wanted to spend just a few moments this morning to talk about the benefits and the practice of living a grateful life. Just living in the spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving certainly fits with the theme for our holiday season coming up. But Charles, I really believe that living with gratitude has tremendous benefits from the inside out. And so I think it'd be good to talk about some of those issues today.
Absolutely. Why don't you lead us in our discussion with gratitude, okay. Bruce?
Yeah. So when you think about where gratitude comes from, we believe it comes from the inside out. It's an aspect of our worship. And I believe that gratitude originates, you know, in the inner life, your inner world. And often we think about our soul. And so the question is, what is the soul? Well, just within the Hebrew Old Testament, the word for soul is nefesh, and it refers to yourself, your living being. And so the Bible views our inner world, our soul, not just our soul, but what our soul is part of, is a personhood that's in three parts. You may have heard this before: body, soul, and spirit. And your body is your outer world. That's the work you do. That's the relationships you have. That's your family. That's your hobbies. But your soul or your heart is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that connects to your spirit. It connects your spirit, in fact, to your outer world. One of my favorite definitions of the soul is what the late Dr. Jack Hayford called it. He said the soul is the command center of the personality. So if you think of your soul the way the Bible does, at the center of your whole life, it touches everything in your life. And so it's integrated. And I have a graphic for that I was going to show everyone this morning. But you can see that your soul is the center of your being. And it should touch everything, and it does touch everything in life. Some people try to live compartmentalized, where their soul is maybe just another component of your life. Like maybe you think of your religious life, your spiritual life, but I don't think you can disconnect your soul from your family or your marriage or your church. It's inevitably tied to everything happening on the outside, because it really lies at the core of who you are. So if you think of your soul as the center of your whole life, then you see that it's integrated. It touches everything. And so all throughout Scripture, you see references to the condition of a person's soul. For example, in Psalm 42, King David asks the question about his soul. In fact, it's almost like a conversation he's having with his inner life. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" That's Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted within me?" And so I did a little research on that question, those questions that he's asking. So he says, he notices some things about his soul. He says, "Why are you downcast?" And the word for downcast is a Hebrew word that describes excavating land to maybe to build a reservoir or to build some kind of water holding, especially when it's an agricultural society. They used a lot of irrigation, and that was a word that described digging out the land for irrigation. But it came to mean kind of a depression in your personal life, where you're dug out, you're diminished. There's something that's been taken out of you. It's excavated you. And so when the psalmist says, "Why are you downcast?" he's asking the question, "Why are you depressed? Why are you living with such a diminished perspective? What's come and taken stuff out of you?" And then the second part of the question is, "Why are you disquieted?" And again, that's another Hebrew word that has, I think, some pretty significant meaning, because it's an audible sound. The disquieting of the soul describes some kind of turbulence going on. In fact, it can refer to groaning or murmuring. So, the question we need to ask our soul from time to time is, what's going on there? What's happening on the inside? What am I observing in my soul? And so the king, he's asking, I think, questions we need to ask ourselves. What's dug into you? What's pulled some pieces out? What's excavated some stuff out of you? Maybe your joy, maybe your sense of well-being. You might listen to the sounds that you hear in your soul. What are the sounds that are coming out from your inner world? What's that groaning? What is that turbulence? What is that? What is that weeping I hear? What is that anger I hear? What's that dissatisfaction that I hear? And so those are the questions I think King David is asking him. Anytime our soul is empty, it's broken, it's devoid of hope, it's in turmoil, then it will impact the rest of your life. Again, you see the extended parts on the outside, family, marriage, friends, your hobbies, your work, your church. Well, it's all connected to what's happening on the inside. And so anytime you see some outward turbulence, it may be because of some inner turbulence. And so when King David assesses that trouble in his own soul and he says, "Why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted?" You know, his answer is pretty simple. In verse 5, he says, "Hope in God," right? Turn your attention to a God who is eternally good, who is eternally loving, and invite his presence into your soul. Invite his fellowship. And so in the New Testament, we get verses like this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." He says this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, that we live with that kind of inner life, that we live with a focus on God and giving him thanks. So I think gratitude is a valuable key to not only the health of your soul, but as you see it, the extension of it coming out, the way it touches every part of your life. So gratitude is a loving and thankful response to God for his presence, both with us and where we see him working, you know, in the world around us. And we think of, you know, I'm grateful for God's blessings. And certainly blessings can move us into gratitude, but that's not really what's at the root of a thankful heart. Gratitude is putting our focus on God's character, his goodness, and his presence. And his goodness is the heartbeat of thankfulness. And I love a quote from a contemporary Catholic spiritual director who's got a lot of pull kind of in that world, but his name is David Steindl Rast, and he says, "It's not happiness that brings us gratitude. It's gratitude that brings us happiness." So a lot of people are looking for reasons to be grateful when truthfully, gratitude is really tied to knowing God and trusting in his character and goodness. So Charles, that's where I see, you know, gratitude is really key to soul health. But is there any evidence for how expressing gratitude really affects our personal health?
Yeah, there's a lot of science, a lot of studies, research been done, and what we learned is that the gratitude truly affects our brain. When we live in gratitude and when we expressing gratitude, it goes a long way in affecting overall personal health and well-being. Especially, a lot of this research shows in the brain and the nervous system. A lot of studies show that the effects of gratitude on the brain are long-lasting. Gratitude significantly impacts bodily functions and psychological conditions like stress, anxiety, depression. So, you know, if you deal with those issues, man, I'm telling you, I've just as an observation, anxiety really seems to be on the rise, especially in our younger generations. That's just something my wife and I just kind of anecdotally have been talking about the last couple years. Just the spike in anxiety in the younger generations seems to be heavily prevalent. So gratitude is a key dynamic in the fight against anxiety. Gratitude releases toxic emotions. Actively expressing our gratitude invites God's supernatural presence and his peace into our soul and replace other negative emotions, again, like anxiety, anger, depression. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, out of the New Living Translation, we hear these words. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And gratitude, being a place of receiving the peace of God. And I just think it's interesting in that passage of Scripture, as as we read, Paul says that his peace will guard our hearts. It's a military term there of the peace of God actively guarding. So it would be like not Barney Fife, guarding us, but it's the presence of what we would, in our modern day understanding, of a special forces soldier, of a Green Beret, of a Navy SEAL, that highly trained, high capacity military soldier. That's what the peace of God is being likened to, and that's the strength that comes. That's the strength of God's peace that guards our heart. And so gratitude working in our relationship with Christ brings about that kind of strength, that kind of peace that guards our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. The limbic system is the part of the brain that is responsible for all emotional experiences. Studies have shown that the two main sites regulating emotions, memory, and bodily functioning get activated with feelings of gratitude. So gratitude is a great activation agent. A study conducted on individuals seeking mental health guidance revealed that participants of the group who wrote letters of gratitude besides their regular counseling sessions felt better and recovered sooner. The other group in the study, they were asked to journal their negative experiences instead of writing gratitude letters. And it was reported of them that their feelings of anxiety and depression. So it had the opposite effect. Gratitude reduces pain. Studies have shown that expressing gratitude, like keeping a journal and writing thank you notes, can reduce chronic pain symptoms, even regulating dopamine levels and filling us with more energy and vitality. Isn't that amazing? Just the simple act of expressing our gratitude through a journal, writing thank you notes, can increase that quality of life, reducing pain in our physical bodies. Gratitude improves sleep quality. Studies have shown that showing gratitude and offering simple acts of kindness activates the hypothalamus. It's this part of the brain that helps regulate major bodily functions like our heart rate, our hunger, mood, blood pressure, decision making, hormone release, and especially our sleep. Gratitude helps us get deeper and healthier sleep naturally every day. An inner life filled with gratitude and kindness is more likely to help cause us to sleep better and wake up feeling refreshed and energetic every morning. Listen, so if you're having some long nights, start practicing gratitude. Maybe that's why everybody falls asleep in my sermon. Maybe I'm not boring. Maybe they're just expressing gratitude.
They need to be more grateful. They need to be more grateful.
Gratitude aids in stress regulation. Research also shows that regular expressions of gratitude significantly reduce cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone. They had better cardiac functioning and were more resilient to emotional setbacks and negative experiences. Studies over the years have established the fact that by practicing gratitude, we can handle stress better than others. By merely acknowledging and appreciating the little things in life, gratitude helps us to rewire the brain to deal with the present circumstances with more awareness and a broader perception. Gratitude reduces anxiety and depression. By reducing the stress hormones and managing the autonomic nervous system, gratitude significantly reduces symptoms of depression and anxiety. So feelings of gratitude are associated with more healthy responses to negative emotions like guilt, conflict, and shame. So as a result, people who keep a gratitude journal or use verbal expressions are more empathetic and positive-minded by nature. So, Bruce, that was a lot of kind of a technical talk about gratitude. What are some practical ways that we can practice gratitude that brings about these things in our lives?
Yeah, well, I think we can all brainstorm on that. But I just wanted to make a note, Charles. A lot of things you talked about, these are recognized. These are recognized outcomes from so many studies that have been done in neuroscience, the medical world, in psychological journals. There's all studies that show, you know, time and time again, that having an internal posture of gratitude affects us bodily. And so I thought there was some tremendous insights you had there, especially, you know, my takeaway is that when you take command of your inner world to be a person of gratitude, then you're taking more of the reins of your personal health. And I just thought that was a powerful list of things that you shared. So when it comes to practicing gratitude and being intentional about that, again, practicing gratitude requires taking an intentional posture. It's not something we're looking to happen to us. We're going out and finding the reasons why we should be grateful. So I think, number one, you know, as a person of faith, I'm always turned to the scriptures. I think God's word is truth, and it reveals his character, his nature, and it frames my world for me. It helps me understand who's really in control, and that when you believe that God is good, and that he is in control of your life, and that he's working all things for your good, then that's going to frame life for you. And so I'm not here to argue with the skeptics. I'm just telling you that I choose to live in a world where I see the evidence of a good God. And so that's where I am. But to practice gratitude, again, but being intentional, I think you can practice prayer, worship, singing, things that focus on God's generosity and goodness toward us. Those are plentiful in the scriptures. I mean, just read the Psalms. Just start there. But if you begin to look at God's redemptive activity, his many promises that are in God's word for us as we trust him by faith, as we look to him, there's ample reason to see that God is good, he's generous, he's kind, he's long-suffering, he's just trustworthy. And so when we focus our prayers and our worship on that, that's a good way to set up an internal world that is framed in gratitude. I think secondly, highlighting and personalizing verses of scripture that reveal God's goodness and declaring it back to him in worship. You know, we've done episodes on prayer models and looking into scripture kind of as a lens for how we worship and how we invite the activity of God at work in our lives and our churches. So I think a good component to any good prayer model is just beginning to highlight and personalize those verses that focus us on God's goodness and character. I think another way to practice gratitude is when you gratefully share yourself and your resources, just as a sign of thankfulness to God. You've heard the expression, you can never outgive God, but it sure is fun to try. Charles, that's something I've heard often, but it really challenges me to be a generous person, to begin to look at life not through the lens of being small-minded and having a maybe a scarcity mindset, but living with this truth that God is going to provide for my needs, and that affords me to be a generous person. And so I want to give myself and my resources not only to God but to help others. I think another way you can practice gratitude is by verbalizing your gratitude, expressing that to other people, just in the habit of saying thank you, or I'm so grateful for your kindness or your generosity, or expressing to people your appreciation for their thoughtfulness whenever they've done something nice. You know, we talk about our gratitude to God, but I think it's important that when we begin to direct our gratitude toward people and their generosity and their goodness or their thoughtful gestures, that what you're doing is you're enlarging your world, and you're beginning to see a world where kindness is a reality. People can do good things, and in spite of a lot of the rotten things in the world, you know, I think when you focus on some of the good things you see in people, I think again that just broadens your world. A couple more things. One is noticing and marking God's presence and gifts throughout the day. Again, I think that's more of a behavior we have to learn by practicing, by intentionally being focused during the day to say, what am I looking at that shows me God's goodness? I think it's important to mark that, to be mindful of that. Practicing an abundance mentality, again, counting the blessings of life and showing generosity. And then finally, I'm not a journal guy, but I do think it's important to take note of the gifts that God brings us. And so if you're a journal person, I would encourage you to keep a gratitude journal just to begin to list the things that you've seen God show you of his kindness and of his provision. Anything that you can mark in your life, I think those become anchors for us to say, you know, I can face a difficulty tomorrow because of what I've experienced of the goodness of God yesterday. And I think that informs a life of faith and is very helpful. So those are some ways to approach living in gratitude. But Charles, I'm thinking that living in gratitude should produce some kind of spiritual fruit, right? I mean, what are some of the signs of spiritual maturity that come from being thankful?
Absolutely. What a great question to ponder on this Thanksgiving episode. What are some of the fruits of living in gratitude? And so we get some help this morning from Adele Calhoun, who offers these from her Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, which is an excellent resource for practicing spiritual disciplines. We learn things like keeping company with Jesus no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Man, that's an important distinctive. Our fellowship, our communion with Christ is not interrupted no matter what happens. Being aware of the abundance of gifts, benefits, mercies, and grace that have been poured into our lives. What a phenomenal fruit of gratitude is when you and I, when we are able to be aware of God's blessings, of his abundance of blessings. Man, God is a God of abundant blessings and gifts, and he releases those in our lives. And as we practice gratitude, our awareness of God's abundance in our life really begins to come alive. A third fruit, I think, would be curbing critical tendencies by upstaging them with thanksgiving. So as I began to kind of fall back into that default posture and become critical, taking notice of that and upstaging, I like that word, upstaging our critical tendencies with thanksgiving, not allowing ourselves to hit the easy button and do what comes naturally, but instead being intentional with the way we're living. And now gratitude is producing a different response, a response of thanksgiving that trumps our critical nature and critical tendencies. The author continues to go on and says, seeing what you have as quickly as you see what you don't have. Seeing what you have as quickly as you see what you don't have. I don't know about anyone else, but I tend to jump to what's not in my hand or what's not available or what's accessible, to the neglect of so many things and resources and opportunities that are available, readily accessible in my life. So seeing what I have as quickly as I see what I don't have. Appreciating and valuing people by thanking them often and clearly for who they are to me or to someone else. The art of appreciation and valuing others goes a long way in this life of gratitude that we're living. A daily habit of thanking the Lord for His presence in our lives. That's worth repeating. A daily habit of thanking the Lord, thanking God for His presence in my life. The simple act of humbling myself and just saying, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your presence that is active in my life. Noticing your lack of gratitude and repenting of the idol that has your heart at that moment. Wow, isn't that something to take notice of? When we realize there's a lack of gratitude and just stopping in the moment and repenting of whatever it is that we've allowed to capture our heart in that moment. Repentance as a fruit of gratitude. And finally, receiving everything you have as a gift rather than as an entitlement. Man, that flies in the face of culture. Everything is an entitlement. Everyone owes me something. But that is not the case at all. That's what gratitude, it shifts and it transforms us, who we are at our very core. So now that we're able to receive everything as a gift rather than as an entitlement. So those are some of the fruits of this life of gratitude. And I think it's very plain and clear to see that living this life of gratitude that we've been talking about brings about a level of transformation that is just off the charts. It is countercultural to the world in which we live today. But of course, we know and we understand Scripture, a biblical lifestyle is always swimming upstream, is swimming against the flow of the current of culture. And so that shouldn't be surprising. But it positions us and it launches us into a different kind of life, into a life of transformation, where we recognize that that I must decrease and God must increase. It brings us into a lifestyle of decreasing, so that God is glorified. And I think God is glorified when our lives are lived from a place of gratitude.
Amen. Charles, I can't help but think that we've talked so much about mentoring others and what it takes to apply, that transformational relationship to help people in our church, in our department, in our organization to improve their performance and reach their potential. I just want to say that as a leader, if you live in a spirit of gratitude, you're going to set a spiritual marker and a pace for your organization. And people will follow a person that lives out of genuine gratitude. I really believe that, because they see that your life is much bigger than yourself, and you learn to express your appreciation not only to the people that you work with, but also, the God that you serve. And I think that's a very attractive quality. It's a very mature quality. And so I would really encourage all of our listeners to take the steps necessary to really pursue a life of gratitude. Charles, any thoughts before we close today?
Just again, hey, we are deeply grateful for each and one, each and every one of our viewers, listeners, subscribers. Again, thank you for taking the journey with us, and we're grateful. We're grateful for you.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast, and we want to extend a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving to each of you. Please remember to invite the presence, the power, and the peace of God into your life by living in gratitude. Also, we would love for you to like, follow, subscribe, and share our podcast, this podcast episode, or maybe even our podcast channel with your friends. You can remember our new website as well. We introduced last week and the last few weeks, actually, the 5gifts.org. We are launching several new initiatives in the coming months regarding missions and taking what we do here on the 5Gifts podcast and sharing that with other leaders in other countries. We're believing for God to really open up nations to us, and He has already begun to do that. You can also reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. Charles has fabulous insights and resources for you as a leader to grow, and he can do that both in the role of coach and consultant. And you want to meet with Charles and develop a customized plan to get to the next level in your leadership, and also looking at maybe revitalization in your local church. You can also reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. I'm always available to help you advance to the next level. I like to focus especially in the areas of leadership and spiritual life, and I'd be grateful to work with you and to see what's possible as you think about growing to the next level and advancement personally. But we'll see you next week right here on the 5Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the 5Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.